Well, the choir sounds good today. You are marvelous. Don't you love those old hymns? The lyrics, they're so rich, so wealthy, so soul-filling. And so thank you, worship team. I don't know why the lights went out, but they just did. Nobody touched them. So something's going to happen in a few minutes. But I can see my notes here. Has anybody ever read the New England Primer? How many teachers do we have here today? Have you ever read the New England Primer? It was the principal textbook of early America, published in 1688, used in schools for 150 years. And yes, it's fun to read. It's very interesting to see what was being taught in America's schools in early America. It contains this line: "In Adam's fall, we sinned all. In Adam's fall, we sinned all." That's good theology. And that comes right from Romans 5, 12 to 21. That's what we're going to look at today. And it teaches the doctrine of original sin. Have you heard that? Have you heard of the doctrine of original sin? That basic Christian belief, that worldview that we all inherit sinful tendencies and the consequences of Adam's sin. Original sin is an essential Christian doctrine. So once upon a time in America, the schools taught and almost everyone believed in the doctrine of original sin. The Bible affirms it, and if you've lived longer than 5 minutes, life proves it. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, "Original sin is the only Christian doctrine that is empirically verified. Study human beings, and you will see original sin." Even Jennifer Lopez, she said this week, she tried so hard to rescue her marriage to Ben Affleck, and she said this about Ben: "He has a darkness to him that no other person can fix." That sounds like original sin. That's a pretty good definition right there. So we all have this darkness in us that no person can fix except Jesus Christ. Romans 3 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In Adam's fall, we sinned all. Now, this doctrine of original sin has huge implications for life, for our worldview, our anthropology, our parenting, our educational philosophy, our counseling for law and order, and yes, our politics as well. Progressives do not believe in original sin. They don't believe in anything older than 5 minutes. Conservatives do, and the difference is tremendous. One group says we need more cops to stop crime. Another group says we need less cops and people will behave. Last week I preached a marathon message on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and here's a quote from Bonhoeffer. He said, "The American Constitution was written by men who knew about original sin." That's why it's written in such a way that power needs to be divided. There has to be checks. There has to be balances. There has to be oversight to protect us, to limit power and corruption, because elected officials are not angels. They're sinners too, like the rest of us. So let's jump into Romans 5. We'll learn about original sin, how we overcome it, as we have inherited from Adam and who we are in Christ. So the title today is "In Adam's Fall, We Sin All." The outline is original sin is inherited by all in Adam. Original righteousness is gifted by faith in Christ, and then the end is triumphant in saying that God's grace is greater than all our sin. So let's read God's word. Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all mankind because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not counted against anyone when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the violation committed by Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Verse 15. But the gracious gift is not like the offense. For if by the offense of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from the one offense, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the gracious gift arose from many offenses, resulting in justification. For if by the offense of the one, death reigned through the one, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we thank you for this word. Help us to comprehend it. Illumine our minds to the power of sin and the power of grace, and build us up, your church, this morning with this word. Amen. Well, we can summarize what we have seen in this chart. We've got on the one hand Adam, we've got on the other hand Christ. These verses compare the one man Adam contrasted with the one man Jesus. In Adam, we have the bad news. We inherit the consequences of sin's invasion, sin's reign in the world. Adam was the portal. And sin and death and condemnation came in this world through Adam. And now we are all sinners by birth and by choice. How did that happen? Well, God put Adam into a perfectly good world, and he gave him a great gift, a risky gift called free will. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no condemnation. Adam and Eve were so sweet together. They loved each other. There was no fighting. The first family was perfect. And yes, I believe they were true historical figures living at a time in the world that didn't evolve, a world that was created, and the world was absolutely perfect. And the family was perfect. And the marriage was perfect. And because they had freedom, they could really love each other. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God, didn't they? They ate that forbidden fruit, and that is when sin and death entered the world. And since then, every human being after Adam inherits the consequences of Adam's choice, Adam's rebellion. And we continue to make choices just as poorly as Adam did. Now, in Romans, sin is a very serious matter. It's not defined as a mistake. It's not a flaw. It's not an imperfection. In Romans, sin is a power. It's a positive, active power. It's a wrecking ball. And sin actively seeks to enslave people, to destroy God's good creation, and it stubbornly works to oppose God. Sin is serious business. And after Adam and Eve sinned, the world fell seriously into corruption and death. Don't you feel sin's power pulling at you? I do. And when we get into Romans 6, we'll learn how to deal with these things. We're all born in Adam. That's the bad news. Now, to contrast Adam, we have the one man, Jesus Christ. We inherit from Christ the consequences of his original righteousness. It's a gift by faith. Now, that's the good news. In Christ, we receive a much better inheritance. We receive new life, we receive justification, and a new righteous identity. In Christ, God identifies us as saints, not sinners. We are called saints, not sinners. Life in Christ means God knows us personally. We know God personally. It means friendship with God spiritually, and it means dwelling with God eternally in a new heaven and a new earth. Well, what did we do to get into Adam? Nothing. We were just born. And when we were born, we joined the circle. We joined the ranks with Adam, the circle of death, condemnation. And we don't even need to be taught to sin. We are sinners by birth and by choice. What do we do to be in Christ? Well, we have to be born, and we have to be born again. We have to be born twice. We have to be born physically and spiritually. Jesus said in John 3, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it takes two births to get in Christ. And how are we born again? John 11, Jesus says, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are born again. You are in Christ, and we inherit all that he has done for us. In Adam, in summary, in Adam we're born once physically, but we die twice, physically and eternally. In Christ, we're born twice, physically and spiritually, but we die only once, physically. And after that, there's a resurrection. So the big question today is, are you in Adam or are you in Christ? These are the only two circles that matter in the world. And that is what God is teaching us in Romans 5. Are we in Adam or are we in Christ? So let me stop here and handle an objection. Some people say, how is it that I am punished for something Adam did thousands of years ago? Is that fair? Is that just? Well, let me give two answers. The first answer is that it's not unusual for children to suffer the consequences for what their parents have done. Take a pregnant mother. She drinks alcohol during her pregnancy and passes along fetal alcohol syndrome to the baby in her womb. Even a small amount of alcohol when mama is pregnant can damage a developing baby, and it's a lifelong condition. Or take a father, let's go back in more ancient times, a father who goes bankrupt, loses everything. The only thing he can do is sell himself into slavery, and that means his children are going to be born as as slaves as well. So at the very least, something like this happened to all of us as children of Adam. I've got a second answer, a stronger answer, a more legal answer that says all of us acted in solidarity with Adam. The one man, Adam, had a kind of power of attorney. He represented all humanity so that when Adam acted, we acted. When Adam sinned, we sinned too. When Adam became guilty, we became guilty too. So we've got two answers here, also reflecting the debate as to whether or not original sin means inheriting Adam's original consequences of sin and death, or does it mean also we inherit Adam's guilt as well? That's an ongoing debate about original sin. But just remember this. If you object to the idea that one man, because of one man, Adam, we inherited sin and death, just remember the solution. One man, Jesus Christ, reverses all of that. There is a one-man solution to the one-man disaster. Jesus Christ reverses the entire curse of sin, death, and condemnation. So the more important question again today is, are we in Adam or are we in Christ? So I searched yesterday for a definition of original sin, and I wanted a definition that would have wide acceptance in the church. And so I found one. It's 500 years old, by the Swiss reformer Erlich Zwingli. It's very dense. It's very thoughtful. I'm going to read it slowly. He said, original sin, as it is in the children of Adam, is therefore properly a disease and a condition. A disease because just as he fell through self-love, so do we also. A condition because just as he became a slave and liable to death, so also are we both slaves and children of wrath and liable to death. Now, I think it's interesting how Zwingli frames original sin as self-love. It's very hard to explain sin, isn't it? But I think this communicates well in our day. Self-love is sin. That was the devil's original sin, too. Self-love led to the fall. Adam loved himself more than God, more than Eve, more than God's good word, more than his place he was given in God's world. Pride and deception comes from self-love. Along with Eve, Adam thought he was God. He wanted to be his own boss, resulting in sin, death, and condemnation for all. Adam's children exhibit the same self-love and pride we see today. It's undeniable. I even found out this summer that my grandkids are sinners. I was shocked. I hadn't spent that much time with them, but this summer we had record time with the grandkids, about 15 days over 3 different visits, and we got to know them pretty well. And let me tell you, they're sweet, but they're sinners too. And they got it from their father, who got it from me. And it goes on and on and on, all the way back to Adam. My grandkids are just like Adam. God put Adam in this huge, beautiful, perfect garden to do anything and everything he wanted to do except the one thing he told him not to do, and that's what he did. In this summer, I observed my grandkids in a room full of 500 toys, and the one toy we told them not to touch, not to play with, that was the toy they wanted. And the explosion happened, all three of them, in 3 seconds. Major meltdown. I thought, Adam did that. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. So far, we've seen that original sin is inherited by all in Adam, but original righteousness is gifted to us by faith in Christ. Let's look to the end now, the conclusion. It's a triumphant conclusion that God's grace is greater than all our sin. Verse 18, so then, as through one offense the result was condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness the result was justification of life to all mankind. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the offense would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, so also grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. You can hear, if you read it out loud, you can hear a song of triumph, a crescendo to the end, especially at the end of verse 20, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Just as sin reigned in Adam, grace reigns. Grace wants to take over. Grace is a power too, more powerful than sin, which can overwhelm us and change us and transform us. Grace reigns. Grace triumphs. Grace wins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Michael Bird, in his commentary, gives these three applications. Next slide. By faith, you are in Christ, not Adam. That is our identity. The second application is you cannot make yourself more justified than you already are. It's done. We have been declared righteous by faith in Christ. The last one I like. Whatever condemnation you think you had, it has been obliterated by grace. You like that? Grace is a power. May grace reign in our lives. Julia Johnson wrote a hymn based on Romans 5:20. Let me read a couple of verses and then we'll close. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Verse 2 says, sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross, and then the chorus, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Father, we thank you that Jesus has come to initiate a new reign in this world, in our lives, the reign of grace brought about by faith in Jesus Christ. I pray, God, for Living Rock Church, that we would live triumphantly, that grace would reign in these brothers and sisters, that we would have a sense of your victory every single day this week, and that grace would overpower whatever sin sickness we battle with today. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for Jesus. And we pray that we would learn to walk in your victory and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? All right, let's sing before we go today.